Well, thank you for staying tuned to GNCR on 93.6 FM, the station that endeavours to bring you good news 24/7. The time is 1800 hours and this is the programme Heartlines with our guest Craig Bashir and I'm your host Larice Fourie. Craig, thank you for your time again this evening.
Lovely to be with you, Larice. I look forward to our journey together.
So, Craig, over the past few weeks, you've been on a journey with Ma Monica Mngadi around values and money. Could you remind our listeners of the values that you've covered so far?
Sure. The first one we did, Larice, was honesty in earning. The second one was responsibility in spending. The third one was wisdom in borrowing. And if you look at each of those values, honesty is the action, responsibility is the action, wisdom is the action. So when we look at wisdom, it's in your borrowing. It's responsibility, it's in your spending. Honesty, it's in your earning. And then last 2 weeks, Ma Monica interviewed Romy, who's a debt counselor, and they shared about debt and the role of a debt counselor. And so we just thought that with the wisdom in borrowing, that is a very important one to add in, because there are so many people struggling with debt.
So, Craig, today, what are we going to be covering?
So today we're going to value 4, and value 4 is self-control in saving.
Okay, self-control in saving. I think when it comes to saving, there's probably like 1,001 different reactions to that small word. And especially paired with self-control, those aren't people's two favorite terms generally. But what comes to mind when you hear the word saving?
Oh, yeah, you're so right, Larice. There are many things. But, you know, for me, I think sacrifice, it means I've got a sacrifice something, and you know, sacrifice is not always nice. I think of investments, whether you're putting money in the bank or buying shares, something like that. But also the thought, you know, for me, is saving is something that only rich people can do, because if you're not rich, then you can't save, because you don't have money to save. And so that often comes to mind. And so you find that within South Africa, this, we don't have a saving culture. You know, there's very few people that actually save within the country. And so, yeah, so it often can be something that you think, okay, it's not for me.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, those common perspectives on saving. And I think that's almost more from a secular perspective. But does the Bible have anything to say about saving?
Yes, the Bible does, and I think there's many scriptures around it. But maybe I should just highlight two or three of them so that our listeners know what we are sharing is biblically based. And I think if we go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, and it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." And so when we look at just that scripture, you know, interestingly, I've been having a challenge with ants in my kitchen. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the cold weather is coming. I am sure that we will be able to go for a few months without having to deal with the ants. But come summer, the ants will be back. And you wonder to yourself, you know, how did these ants survive? Because they weren't coming into the kitchen to try and find some food or sugar. But the reason they're able to do that is because they are currently in saving mode so that they can survive the winter. And so I think they give us a great example of saving. And you look at this tiniest of creatures teaching us lessons on how to save. And, you know, in Proverbs, in chapter 21, verse 20, it says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. And so, you know, I remember growing up, and if you got a little bit of money, my parents would say, you need to think of a rainy day. And for me as a child, I'm thinking, on a rainy day, what am I going to buy? What am I going to spend this money on the rainy day? And not understanding that, you know, I make provision and save so that when there's a need that arises, you do have something in store. And so when we look at the scriptures clearly show us that we should be setting aside something, because we know seasons change, difficulties come, and we then can be better prepared for them. You know, and the third one, I'm just going to throw this one in, Larice, is in 1 John 3:17, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? And some might say, well, what's that got to do with saving? And the reality, it does have much to do with saving, in that if we save, it means when there is a need, not just our own needs, but it might be a need within a family member. It might be a need with somebody in our church community. It might be a need that our neighbor has. It means we would have something in store that we could help others. And so I really believe that if people can begin to think around saving and consider, hey, you know, it doesn't matter how much I earn, doesn't matter whether I am, even if I'm not rich, that saving can be part of my life.
Yeah, isn't that quite interesting? Doesn't it bring you back to the story of Joseph and his brothers? You know, those 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And exactly that, you know, God sent him to Egypt beforehand so that he could store up in this way and be able to save his own family when they found themselves in hard times. They could come and he could share with them that which God entrusted to him to save. So it's quite interesting how you're so right. This is such a biblical principle, and we see it at the heart of God and how he works. So we've considered some of these common reactions, you know, the thoughts, okay, saving is sacrificial, saving is an investment, and okay, maybe there's some thoughts towards saving like, okay, but it's not for everybody, it's only for a certain few. And then contrast to that are these biblical thoughts about saving. But do you have any prompts that will help the person on the other side of the radio to maybe reflect on their own attitude towards saving?
Yes, I do. And so I'll give it in the form of questions. And a question that could be asked is, what distractions or challenges have kept me from sticking to a savings plan? The second one is, are there people I can support and blessed through money that I have saved? Because we got to remember that God has called us to be good stewards of what he has given us. So even though we might be saving, it all belongs to God. And so, so you know, are there people that, you know, because of my saving, I'm able to bless others? Does my spouse and I agree on the importance of saving and the discipline, the self-control, and often sacrifice that it requires? What are the things that I'd love to save up for? And so these are questions just to consider for our listeners, to consider what saving, what can I be doing about my saving habits, whether I have a saving habit or I have a habit of not saving. You know, so if our listeners just consider that, because I believe that if for everyone that has an income, there is a way you can save, regardless of how much that might be.
Now, if someone decides to actually start saving, do you have some practical advice that they can keep in mind as they approach it?
Yes, definitely. And I think it needs to be a discipline. I think the first thing is the best way to save is to make it a discipline. So what discipline does, it brings consistency. And so I would say, so if somebody, whatever they decide, so whether somebody's choosing to save 10 Rand, 100 Rand or 1,000 Rand a month, let it be a discipline. And if you can have it come off your account, go into a savings account and it's on a debit order, I found in my own personal experience, I then forget about it and it actually doesn't come into my thinking when I'm doing my budget as to how can I be spending on various things, mm-hmm. because I know that's not there, it's gone. And over time, I'm able to build up a little savings account that I can use for a rainy day. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I would say, is if you're going to save, ensure you use a bank, a reputable bank. I know some people save through Stockfels, and that's fine because it helps with habit. But if you are saving with a Stockfel, ensure that it is established, ensure that there's good governance, ensure that, you know, that it potentially is a Stockfel that's been going for a long time and they've got a track record. Because I know doing it that way for some is the best way for them to do it. Mm-hmm. And I want to share an example, you know, even for children. You know, if we teach our children to start saving from young, it's a beautiful habit they can have that they can take into adulthood. And I'm reminded of my niece, Jessica. Some years ago, my son had gone to study in the U.S., and when he had left, we were at the airport and the family were there and Jessica was there with her parents. And she said, oh, one day I want to go to America. And so with that, I said, yeah, Jessica, you can go. Why don't you start saving? We've got 4 years to save and then we will go for Caleb's graduation. So she says to her parents, she says, Dad and Mom, from now on, I'm saving. If you give me any spending money, I want you to put it into my savings account because I'm going to America. Do you know the amazing thing? Jessica was 7 years old. For the next 4 years, Jessica saved every financial gift she was given from her parents at Christmas, from uncles, aunts, etc. for 4 years. In fact, her parents had to say to her at times, Jessica, we're giving you this. You've got the special day at school today, so you've got some money to buy at the tuck shop. Jessica would say, no, put that towards my trip. They say, no, we'll put the same amount towards your trip, but just go and buy yourself something today. So the plan at that point was Jessica, her parents, they were also going to go on the trip, and we were going to do this 4 years later as with our extended family. Mm-hmm. Well, 4 years later comes, and I asked Jessica's parents, I said, hey, you know, how are you guys doing with the saving? But I knew they weren't saving, but Jessica was. And Jessica had saved at that point, I can't remember the exact amount, but she had saved a few thousand rand. Mm. And was 100% confident she's going to America. So I said to her parents, I said, whatever you do, you're going to have to find the money so Jessica can take this trip or else you will destroy her. Needless to say, the day came and out of her family, Jessica went with us and we made the trip overseas. And so yeah, I was a seven-year-old who saved for 4 years up to 11 years old and she went on an overseas trip. And so it is possible, and just for people to develop the habit of saving.
Yeah, it's so interesting how you can instill actually respect for money and for finances in even the life of a young child. And it's so important because she's going to take that with her into her life, and it could transform and just change her entire life just from this one principle of being wise with your money and saving instead of spending on what you might feel are current needs. So that's such an awesome story, Craig. Do you have any more tips for us on saving?
Yeah, I would encourage people to, one, you can use loyalty programs offered by stores and banks. And I don't want to promote any of them, but the different supermarkets have loyalty programs. Some of the banks have loyalty programs, some of the medical aids, the insurance companies. And I have personally, I can tell people if it's with a legitimate business, those programs do help and they can make a huge difference to you. Mm-hmm. And so use those and then take that money you would have spent elsewhere because you've got this benefit from this program and put that into savings. Mm-hmm. I'd also encourage people buy items that aren't special. The items you need, so you know, everybody needs washing powder, you know, and so it may be that you buy washing powder once every 3 months because then they do a buy to get one free special. Then you are saving money, and then you could always channel that money towards saving if you like. So I would really encourage people to take advantage of these things. Read the small print, because at the end of the day, we know we live in tough economic times in our country, and wherever you can find some saving, wherever you can find a way, and in some cases, it might be you're getting a free coffee, you know, and mm-hmm. that free coffee, if you're a coffee drinker like me that drinks coffee every day and a few cups a day, and I'm part of a loyalty program, and one of the benefits is I get these free cups of cappuccino, which means I can take that money I would have spent on it and I can put it towards saving.
You know, it's so interesting because you can get into a kind of groove about thinking about saving. It can just be this idea of, okay, I get this amount of money each month. I have to take this percentage of it and put it away. But what you're bringing to us, Craig, is very practical in the sense of saving is not just about putting money into the bank or putting it away, but it can also be those small decisions that you make, just putting the lights off when you're not in the room and saving water. So thank you so much for these practical ideas that you're bringing to the table. But Craig, let's be honest, why should people be motivated to save? What are some of the benefits that they can gain from this?
Oh, there definitely are benefits, and there's definitely things that should motivate people to save us. And the first one is that it gives you an emergency cushion. I don't think I'm the only person in the world, but somehow there's always something that crops up that was not in the budget. Mm. You know, you never budgeted for it. You know, if you have a car and then you find, you know, you have a tire blowout. The tire was in good condition. There was no, you hadn't planned on changing any tires for another year. Now, all of a sudden, you have to buy a new tire. And so having that emergency cushion means you're not without transport because you don't have money to buy that tire. You're able to do that. Mm. The other thing is it will help prepare you for retirement. And I think often we discover that one too late in life. And then we're not prepared for retirement. And we know the government pension is not sufficient to live off. And so by developing a consistent saving pattern, if you work and there's a pension plan, that's wonderful. If there isn't, well, then you could do a retirement annuity that can help you so that when you retire, you do have funds, and you'll be able to live. It will also help you with raising a deposit to buy big things like a house. Might also help you to put a deposit for a car. But personally, for me, I'm saying, well, why don't save up for the car and buy a secondhand car instead of paying all that interest to the bank on a asset that is going to depreciate, And so, but to buy a house, if you have a deposit, means the bank will charge you less interest in this appreciating asset, So, so there's great benefit there. It'll also help you to have some fun. I shared with you the story of Jessica. For us, it was being able to be at our son's graduation. For Jessica, it was, yes, to be at the graduation, but it was for her to have fun, to go in an aeroplane. And by the time we came back, she says, I just love flying. I don't enjoy flying, but Jessica loves it. And for Jessica, I can tell you now, she is probably going to travel overseas many times in her life because of the experience she had when she was young, and she knows it's possible to save to do it.
It's awesome how saving can really open up opportunities in our lives, open up doors that we didn't imagine we could ever step into just by small habits of putting away money or, making sure that you are living a saving lifestyle. As we come to the end of the program here, Craig, is there any practical steps that our listener can take away, maybe as a challenge to moving forward?
Yeah. What I would like to say to our listeners today is you can start saving regardless of how much money you earn a week, a month. Even if you're saving 5 rand, 10 rand a month, at the end of the day, it builds up, and then you find, wow, there's quite a bit here. If it's a case of, you're saying, well, I can't take 5 rand to the bank. Well, maybe have a jar and put 5 rand coins in there, or 10, every time you have a 10 rand note, put it in there. But start somewhere. For others, they might be able to say, well, I actually can commit 100 rand a month or 500 rand a month, and I'm going to put it on debit order. And nobody will come back and say, I'm so sorry that I saved. I've never heard anybody make that statement. So I'll encourage our listeners, and want to challenge our listeners, start, even if you're starting very small, start. The other is, if you have a habit, so I have a habit of drinking lots of coffee, and I like cappuccinos. When you start calculating how much you may spend on those cappuccinos or coffees or lattes in the month, you will realize that if you actually save that money, come the end of the year, you're going to have a tidy lump sum there. And so maybe somebody else has a habit of buying chocolate every week. What if you reduce that habit? You don't have to get rid of it entirely, and actually then take that money that was going to be spent on that coffee, the Coke, the chocolate, or that movie or whatever it is, and put that towards saving. So I'm challenging our listeners to get into the habit, but I'm also suggesting to our listeners there are creative ways to begin, because you may just say to me, Craig, Larice, I'm sorry, I just don't have money to save. And then you're going to buy their cappuccino. No, you have that money to save. You might have to live on some instant coffee for a bit, but you could save that money.
Craig, thank you so much for your time this evening. And just how can the listeners find out some more about values and money? Do you have a place to direct them?
Yes. I'd encourage our listeners to go onto our website. It's www.values.com. heartlines.org.za, and you can look in the menu bar there, or just search and ask and search values and money. And in fact, if you sign up on the website, which takes you about a minute, you can actually do the free values and money course, which goes in more detail with some of the things we've discussed. And also there's video footage there where you have somebody speaking into values and money, but you can actually do the course and it's absolutely free.